Today's episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Quote now at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The Fable and Folly Network supports creators of exceptional audio stories, including the one you're listening to right now. If you love our shows, we want to hear from you. Complete our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey. This will help us learn more about you, what you like, what you'd like to hear more of, and how we can maintain an inclusive, safe atmosphere. As a thank you for your participation, we have extras and behind-the-scenes content from your favorite shows. Fans make the network what it is. Thanks for listening, and we can't wait to hear from you. Find our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey today.
Hi, I'm Ryan LaPlante, and I'm one of the crazy founders of Dumb Dumbs and Dice, the production company that's made the video you're watching or the podcast you're listening to right now. Now, we're clearly busy. We're producing 4 weekly podcasts: Dumb Dumbs and Dragons, Blood and Syrup, The Mythos Mysteries, and Warhammer 40,000: The Valentine Heresy, as well as 4 event podcasts with mini-series releases at staggered intervals: Curse Code and Crown, Dumb Scum and Villainy, One Shots, and the bad movie review show, Garbage Town the Movie Podcast. But we want to take this time to invite you to become a part of our company and a part of our Patreon at patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. You can get access to our Discord, access to exclusive DM and character chats. You can get the chance to name characters in our shows. You can even become a recurring NPC and hear yourself interacting with our characters each week through the voice of Tom. You can become a patron for as little as $1, and there's great value for you at even that level. So please, join the Dumb Dumbs and Dice family and help us make even more content in a way that you are guaranteed to love. That's patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. DUMBDUMBDICE. So let's do something dumb together, and thanks for being part of our stories.
I am Executron, god of merchandising, and I came into existence because Dumb Dumbs and Dice has its own merchandise. That's a god pun. Get it? Dice? Merchandise? Anyways, you can get t-shirts, hoodies, spiral notebooks, clocks, wall art, throw pillows, bags, and even stickers emblazoned with your favorite Dum Dums and Dice characters and their catchphrases. Go to redbubble.com/people/dumdumdice. That's D-U-M-B, D-U-M-B-D-I-C-E. One more time for the mortals in the back, redbubble.com/people/dumdumdice. Get your merchandise today.
Welcome back, children of the night, to Blood and Syrup, a Vampire the Masquerade live play podcast. I am your host, Count Vlad von Lestat, drinker of blood, keeper of the Chronicle, and all around the spooky dude. Having gotten themselves ready and expanded the coterie, the gang are entering Divine Damnation in search of the Saturn Prince. Everett decided to impersonate Colin Farrell, who is impersonating Matthew McConaughey. Iris found Colm Feore, and Ridley served a turn as the man with the plan. Abandon hope, all ye who listen here.
You're walking up to the club. You've got a new coterie. Some of you have a new look. Not Everett, but two of you have new personalities. Yes, Everett. and this will always go down in Montreal history as the night Colin Farrell as Matthew McConaughey, famed Canadian actor Colm Feore, and 3 people no one knows decided to descend on Divine Damnation. So you're approaching the door. There are sort of 2 large bouncers and a clearly overworked sort of like a door person. She's got a clipboard out, definitely got like the full on like earpiece. She is, seems for all intents and purposes, the person who's actually managing, crowd flow. Dedrick, just kind of leans over, who do you think is, I think he's probably talking to Ridley, cause it seems like you're the man with the plan. So he whispers in your, ear, okay, that's very strange. She doesn't work here. I think the Satin Prince may have brought his own security.
Oh, Lurleen, apparently, the lady at the front door doesn't work here. She's fucking probably with the Satin Prince. So work your magic and get us the fuck in there.
Oh, sorry, I didn't know I should be telling her these things. Lurleen, again,
no, I've already relayed it.
Okay.
Don't worry, right, you're good.
All right, cool.
Let me know if anything really changes. Well, she's going to do the door, and then we get inside, everyone will need to know. So you're doing fine. Don't worry. But she's the talker of the bunch.
I'm just... Yeah, okay. Yeah. Okay. Cool. Hashtag into it. Okay, bye. And then it just, like, steps one half step back. Meanwhile, Everett, you are faced with a unique challenge. You currently have three people trying to talk to you as you approach the club. You have an absolutely gorgeous, giant Irishman, name is Seamus McGriddle, if you'll remember from last episode. You've got the incredibly alluring Vivian Tamerlane, who is very handsy in a polite but also very telling way. She's doing a lot of, like, you know, arm touch, but like an excessive amount. You have your old pal Comfiore, who is seems a little bit confused about what's going on, because you don't look or sound like Colin Farrell, who he has seemingly met. This entire little sequence occurs as you are crossing the street. What do you do with this crew of three that are kind of all up in your business?
I just, like, address each of them individually and concisely and curtly, like, while we're walking kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So it's just like, hi, Seamus, pleasure to meet you. We're both Irish. I would like a Guinness.
It's like, oh, I'd like a Guinness too.
Colm, was it? I mean, of course it is. We know each other. Yeah, I've undergone yet another transformation, which I believe I am known for. I am Matthew McConaughey now for the AIDS movie.
Oh, very good.
And was it Vivian? I just, like, shake her hand very delicately and, like, yes, later tonight, yes. And I just keep walking.
Confior is just like, truly, he disappears into roles. His penguin will be fantastic. Hmm. He just kind of nods and, like, walks along beside you. Vivian goes, okay. Well, all I'm saying is, like, maybe we don't need to wait until tonight. It is a very packed club. I know all of the dark corners in this particular establishment.
In the establishment?
Yes.
Oh, you're going to come in handy. And I, like, put my hand, like, my hand around her shoulder.
Well, I hope,
like,
I come
go
in something, and then you, like, drag her forward. And Seamus sees this, and he seems a little disappointed. And he's like, well, at least I still get a Guinness. So he actually falls out of lockstep with you and starts walking with Ridley and starts talking him up. Because, like, the vibe he was hoping to get from Colin Farrell as Matthew McConaughey, he isn't getting. But he definitely got that vibe from Ridley. So he kind of drops back a bit. all right. So all of you approach the doors. What is your who's taking the lead here? Iris, are you going to try and work your magic?
Yeah, but first I want to ask Dedrick what the name of the owner of the club is.
Mm. It's a Russian-owned club. It's part of a number of holdings from an entertainment group in Montreal and Toronto and kind of Vancouver, sort of a Canadian chain. But his name is Dmitry Rasputin.
Okay. So, first I would like to talk to the, tired looking bouncer.
Okay. Yep.
And let him know what, like, I'm trying to do, like, the proper steps. So it's not like I'm in here and I'm entitled to, like, it's like kind of like a quietly whisper to the bouncer so the bouncer can whisper to the lady.
Gotcha. Very smart. Yep.
Yeah. So I basically just I talk to him about who this is, who I am, the publicist, and he's just, he really heard that the Satin Prince was here and really wanted to come by and have a good time. And I think, and we had talked to Dimitri about coming, and he was very excited about the extra boost in publicity that this was going to bring.
Hmm. Okay, well, normally I'd make you roll for this, but the fact that you got the additional information from Dederic to, like, have Dimitri's name, you've already kind of found an entourage of people who should be let into this club. I think he just kind of looks around, and it's past him, so you can skip one full round of dice rolls, so congratulations. He whispers to her, and she... you catch just the fastest roll of the eyes before the professional veneer comes back on. And she, for lack of a better term, scuttles over to you just says, yes, I'm sorry. Okay, so you spoke to Mr. Rasputin about coming in, but I'm sorry, we're over capacity. As you can tell, there's a VIP inside. So, unfortunately, I'm sorry that you had plans. I'm sure if you come back, they'll give you vouchers. I think that's what places like this do.
Well, I totally understand that you're over capacity, but I also have a VIP that I'm trying to cater to, and Dimitri did promise. He was very excited, and he's probably going to be pretty upset and at the loss of the commission if Mr. Farrell doesn't get in.
She looks at Everett and kind of narrows her eyes.
He's doing this method thing. He's playing Matthew McConaughey in a biopic.
And over your shoulder, you hear Colm Fiore chime in and say, yes, it's very important that Mr. Farrell is allowed to continue his work as McConaughey. Otherwise, it will all fall away. I know you don't understand the arts as I do, but his work is truly spectacular. He played Bullseye in the Daredevil movie. It was transformational.
Oh yeah, we got who I am. Oh, I know. I know who I am. All right.
And yeah, he says, "So you see, he has practically become McConaughey."
Yeah. See, we've also got Colm Fiore, so we've got kind of a VIP and then kind of an IP. You know.
And she kind of narrows her eyes and glowers. Iris, I'm going to need from you, please, a manipulation and persuasion. As you try and do this. Meanwhile, Dederic is documenting this as best he can. Every publicist's nightmare is a celebrity being turned away at the door. So he's just making sure to be as kind of like out of the way, but like vaguely helpful in terms of clearly being a blogger as possible.
Four successes.
Okay, shit. Yeah, that's pretty good. Okay, so with the combined weight of the gravitas of beloved Canadian performer Colm Fiore, the all rights of McConaughey Farrell, and your kind of observation of the appropriate etiquette. Mavis Couture, the organizer of the event, just kind of, you can tell she's frazzled enough that five more people won't actually ruin this for her. So she just says, fine. And wait, who's this? And she gestures to the one odd person out of your entourage, Ridley.
Oh, he's the assistant. He makes sure Mr. Farrell gets everything he needs.
Is that correct?
What? I was talking to Seamus over here. Yeah, whatever she says, it's the fucking truth.
Irishman.
Yes, an uncouth fellow dressed like a priest with a flock of seagulls haircut. You do indeed seem like the kind of assistant that Mr. Farrell would have on hand. I will ask you to leave any, how should I put this, liquor you're carrying out here. I assume for Mr. Farrell, you're likely carrying quite a bit.
Oh, yeah, don't worry. I left that in the alley. It's fucking how we do business here.
That is indeed how we fucking do business here. You are correct. Well, I mean, at least you seem to understand the way of things. All right, well, please enjoy your evening at Divine Damnation. be sure to put in a good word with us, with Dimitri. I appreciate very much all the accommodations he's made for the prince and us. However, knowing the... knowing that the prince has insisted on his elite platinum fan group being here, I imagine the place will be quite a wreck when we're done with it. So please do put in a good word. And then she opens the door.
Woohoo!
we nod and I'll go inside. Yes, yeah. That's great.
Confiore nods and says, woohoo. You make your way inside. So you're immediately struck by the overwhelming smell of sweating bodies and a melange of perfumes and body sprays. It's mixed with that kind of odd chalky smell that really I only know from Laser Quest of dry ice and that fake smoky fog. You enter into kind of go past the coat check down a fairly confined hallway before it opens up into sort of a massive space. Over your shoulder, Dedrick explains that this was once back in the day at least, one of the sort of central banks here in Montreal. It was a CIBC back in the day, was one of their sort of headquarter locations. So it's very large, but obviously it's been converted a long time ago. So you find yourselves in a large space. At the far, there's kind of a sea of bodies. There's a bar to your left. There's two bars kind of at the far end, as well as two massive wrought iron spiral stairs that are obviously see-through because they're not fully secure, but leading sort of up and down. So they seem to go kind of both ways in the club. And you can see people kind of filtering up and down those stairs. That said, there does seem to be security ensuring that not too many people are going up and down at the same time. The center of the space is consumed by a dance floor where people are rocking out to a variety of a very pulsing, almost trance-like music that Dedrick yells over, like stealth yells over as the sound as one of the Satin Prince's old hits from back in the 80s when he was just sort of coming on the scene. There are lasers. The club is relatively dark, but again, lots of people dancing. It's just a big, big sweaty box. Iris, you notice, perhaps before the rest of them, that the DJ is familiar. It is, in fact, DJ Miller, who is spinning tunes. And he's throwing up both his hands probably yelling slurs, but you can't hear it over the blaring sounds of the thing. But you'd recognize those weird sideburns that are disconnected from the beard anywhere. The club is packed. Dedrick looks around. He's like, it's not as busy as I thought it would be. So, I mean, that's an advantage. Keep in mind, all this is yelled, but it's a club, so meh. Vivian is trying to drag you out onto the dance floor. Everett, what do you do?
Sternly refuse. he's in work mode, so he's just kind of like, no, I'm not doing that. We're not doing that.
Oh, I suppose it's not all right.
That's correct.
This is the best night of my life. Comfiore just very politely crunches up some napkins and puts them in his ears.
Comfiore, you're going to get an infection doing that.
I'm sorry, what?
I guess it's working.
Yeah, he never saw that today's special episode where the puppet janitor or puppet night guard did that, and yes, his ears got real fucked up.
Yeah,
shows about mannequins come to life. Always a reference point. Great. So you're in the club. You don't have a bottle full of bub, but you do have a problem to solve. What do you do?
So, in your description of what we see coming in. I was actually surprised to hear that the Satin Prince wasn't at the turntable, you know, spinning his music. So is there any kind of focal point of like a crowd kind of forming around like a VIP booth or anything like that? Like, is there a focus point for the crowd right now?
Interestingly, no. Okay. Again, because you've got, like, you guys are actually like kind of weirdly well equipped for this adventure in a way that you traditionally aren't. Diederik explains that Divine Damnation is a three-level club. So currently you're on the Limbo level, which is kind of the pleb floor, for lack of a better term. This is the space that anyone can get access to at any point. However, only VIPs are allowed up into heaven and down into Inferno. So if you were to venture a guess, the Satin Prince is likely in one of those sections. Sorry, we're going to switch heaven out for Paradise because I'm going with the whole Dante's Inferno thing.
I thought
Paradise is a combined sort of rooftop patio and enclosed space up top. And the Inferno is built out of the old vault in the basement. Unfortunately, for all of you, and Diederik seems just heartbroken that he can't actually give you information on this, both of them are known to be booked off for VIPs. So he's likely in one of those two spots, but it's hard to tell which one.
Everett's going to turn to Iris. If Diederik isn't sure, Diederik isn't sure, I'm going to turn to Iris and just kind of under the pulsing sounds of club music and stuff like that, just try and say like, look, I don't know anything about this Satin Prince in terms of his music or persona. Is he more of a heaven guy or a hell guy?
I mean, I don't know anything more about him than you do.
If we're talking purely from a security standpoint, I'll tell you now, if you're in a basement, you're relatively safe because no one can throw anyone to their death from a basement. So if they're worried about a Satin Prince staying safe, the Beer Boys would put him in the Inferno section. But I don't know if he's some sort of arrogant prick and then he goes up.
Well, that's the best insight we've got. The only insight we've got.
In terms of your options, you can either just bet on one or the others. If you do want to investigate, I would say there's a couple ways you can go about that. You can ask around. It's going to be difficult, but again, it's a fully stocked club. So anyone you can imagine being in a club, from floor managers to additional security to bartenders to servers moving kind of throughout the crowd, handing out, like, selling vials of drinks on the dance floor. You've got access to all of that. Also, he is a celebrity. Well, he doesn't seem to have any social media presence himself, largely because, as you've ascertained, and as Diederik has told you, as a kindred who seems perhaps older than he lets on, he probably has disdain for such things. But the people around him likely don't. So you could also attempt to find him digitally, but you need to tell me how you do that. So those are kind of your options. What do you do?
I would like to send out, I forget her name, but the lady we brought in with us.
Vivian Tamerlane?
Vivian to find any information she can. She seems to be able to, the type to have come here a lot and be able to pull some information out of thirsty bartenders.
I was going to say, should we all just take like 20, wander around and see what we can find out and meet back here? And then if we don't have anything, we just go, fuck it, Inferno.
Well, my suggestion is, why don't we just keep playing into, and I look around to make sure none of our people that we brought in with us are listening. Why don't we just keep the con going? You know, Colin Farrell is looking to meet the Satin Prince, have his people go to the folks guarding the stairs going up and down, because their VIP section say, hi, Colin Farrell for the Satin Prince. Is he up there? Is he down here?
That's actually find pretty fucking good. And if it doesn't work, I don't know, I start a fight in the shit there and take out security, and then you go where you need to go.
Okay, so I think the way we'll say this then is each of you gets one action. So Iris, your action, even though it's Vivian doing it, we're going to lean on Star Trek RPG rules a bit, and it'll be your stats as kind of the person directing her. Mm-hmm. And of course, framing it as like, Mr. Farrell would be very appreciative if you could sort this. So you're going to use Vivian to try and extract information from people she might have a relationship with, so thirsty bartenders, that sort of thing. Everett, you're going to just straight up go was your suggestion that you would go do this or that you would send
someone? I think we would stay on the trend of Colin Farrell's people getting okay. him access.
So someone going up to kind of demand access, possibly Iris. Ridley, is there an action you would want to take in this scenario as well, or do you want to stand by as plan B?
Realistically, they've already sent Vivian to do the thing he would do, which is probably just bribe a busboy. So I think he would just hang out and be plan B one way or the other.
I will say she's going to go talk to thirsty bartenders. If you want to bribe a busboy, that would be – you'd likely get a different take than like the bartender.
Yeah, then I think he'd do that if he can't see any of the bear boys. He actually doesn't know what the fuck's going on with the bear boys, so he's worried.
You don't see any of them.
And would like more information. So mm-hmm. – Prince location, but also about the prince's security.
Okay, cool.
Who'd be the big guys?
Okay, so let's start with those two actions because Everett's is kind of the biggest.
The penultimate action.
Yeah. So let's start with thirsty bartenders. So, Iris, what would you instruct Vivian to do?
Well, just under the general like pressure of Mr. Farrell will be very, very appreciative if you did this. I would probably instruct her to just act a little bit sloppy and flirty with the bartenders and just play up the Star Chaser and that. She would be very appreciative of the bartenders if they could kind of point her in the right direction.
Okay, cool. Can you go ahead and roll me, please, a manipulation and subterfuge? And while you're putting that dice pool together, Ryan. So Ridley's looking for a busboy. Seamus is pretty much hanging off your arm at this point. He's still playing it cool, but like is definitely kind of your companion for the night. Would you bring him with you or would you send him off?
Seamus, this is an awkward question, but it's one of those true ones. How comfortable are you with, let's say, the illegitimate side of business?
It's like, pretty legitimate. That's not what I meant to say at all. I was too worried about my accent.
How do you feel about crime? Let's do a simpler question.
I mean, pretty neutral, if I'm being honest.
Okay, then you can go with me. Let's go for a walk. I like you.
Are we doing a crime, then?
Well, not yet, but eventually. I mean, probably. Who knows? I do them all the time. So I feel like there'd be a lot of, like, flirting with Seamus. Well, basically, I think knowing it's this kind of club, there's no way there isn't a busboy who's also a drug dealer. So if he can find the shadiest guy, that's either the person he can offer help to with career-wise or...
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Lean on without cool. feeling bad.
Yeah. So as you kind of talk with Seamus about this, he points out that like as a gay man from Northern Ireland, he's like, admittedly, I'm a crime. So fuck him.
Oh, this is excellent. All right. So that one, that man selling drugs right there.
Let's yeah. So you see a busboy who's in conversation with a guy, and they're clearly doing that. We're trying to play it cool, but also the club is clearly so packed that you don't have to be tremendously subtle. Also, given that this is an upscale club, drugs
we're
are kind
inside.
Of
yeah
yeah exactly like. You approach this busboy who is just kind of. Pocketing a few vials of something from another fella who looks vaguely familiar to you, but you can't quite place him. Can you please roll me an intelligence and awareness?
Looking to get out of the ads and back to the story? Fable and Folly Plus is a new way to support the creators you love. The podcast you're listening to right now and more than 60 others can be heard ad-free for as little as $4 a month by visiting fableandfolly.com/plus. And now you'll start to see Fable and Folly Network shows are offering bonus content to all existing and new supporters. Find exclusive new episodes from shows like Civilized and Realms of Peril and Glory. Fable and Folly Plus. Sign up today at fableandfolly.com/plus.
Hi friends, it's Ryan here, and I am excited to invite you to join the Dumb Dumbs and Dice Patreon. It's a great way for you to help our team keep creating shows that you love, and it's a cool opportunity for you to get neat things too. At the $1 level, we have a Patreon-exclusive Discord, so you can chat with other listeners and our cast in spoiler and non-spoiler channels so anyone can tag in. At the $5 level, we offer ad-free feeds for a bunch of our shows, so you won't have to hear us advertising our Patreon anymore. At $15, you get to submit names for NPCs, places and things that we have to use in the shows, and we also have a tips, tricks, and traps video where you can submit questions that our GMs and DMs, myself and Tom, will answer for you. And at $25, you can create your own NPC to join one of our active shows and get a special thank you at the end of every episode we produce. We've got a bunch of tiers where you can join, so please head on over to patreon.com/dumdumdice. That's DUMBDUMBDICE. patreon.com/dumdumdice. Please help support us, and we'll keep new episodes coming.
Hey, friends. It's Ryan, but like regular Ryan, as himself, talking about Dumb Dumbs and Dice. Yes, I'm one of the people behind this show. Obviously, you're listening to the show. You're loving this show. Somebody's doing great. Probably not me, but like Tom, he does really good work. Tyler does really good work. Third person also does really good work. I don't know what show this is on, but the important thing is that you can support the show and join the show at
patreon.com/dumdumdice.
That's right, that address that I totally just said. Go there, join Dumdums and Dice, support the show. It's gonna be great.
That is no successes.
Okay. So as you're approaching, you just hear busboy say, like, thanks, Iggy. I'll be sure to move these. And the guy pats him on the shoulder and says, you be sure that you do. All right. Have fun. And then the guy slips away into the crowd. The busboy, meanwhile, pockets them. Hears what's presumably a bachelorette party scream, shots! And then the shattering of several glasses. And you just see his shoulders slump slightly, and he starts making his way towards the mess.
Oh, excuse me, friend, before you go deal with that little mess there, I may have noticed that you just got a delivery of something that they're expecting you to perhaps move overnight.
A delivery of shot glasses from those partying ladies. Yep, that's what I'm going to go clean up. That's me, good old Jean-Yves Boursin. That's my name.
Well, it's nice to meet you, Jean-Yves. What I'm saying is I might want to buy your whole night's supply right now in exchange for money and information. Maybe you could trade a little secret. I'll trade you a little money. I'd buy, you know, the entire night's worth. Maybe I'll even let you keep the night's worth. You know, I'll take a little sample. You keep the rest.
And he kind of looks vaguely suspicious. He's like, wait a minute. Are you the fuzz?
What the fuck would I be the fuzz? I'm fucking dressed as a priest.
Yeah, the last thing I'd expect a cop to be dressed as. Ridley, you can tell that he's getting a bit twitchy. He's used to slipping people drugs when they ask for it, not being like directly presented with big crime opportunities by two fairly burly men. What do you do to try and calm him? It's going to be a roll of some sort.
Say, normally he would try and calm him, but this guy just called him a cop, which Ridley would be very against in this world. So I think he just like steps in and looms larger. He doesn't get taller because he's not a tall guy, but it's just the fridge factor when he steps closer is there.
Admittedly, you also have Seamus over your shoulder. So like,
yeah,
it's not like a big dog, small dog. It's just like two big dogs.
Yeah. You think I'm a cop, friend? Well, you know the orphans that run out of that fuckhead strip club. Well, if you ever wondered why six of them disappeared in the fucking woods, that's me. I do my fucking job, and I do it nice. I started with the money, now we're going to have to follow up with the knives. So how about you take a fucking gift horse without looking it in the fucking teeth?
You make some good points, sir. Go ahead and roll. We're going to say probably streetwise and resolve, maybe.
Cool.
It's about as close to threaten as I can find.
Two successes.
Great. So between that and Seamus looming large, he just kind of nods. No one's ever that direct. Normally they're just like, give me the stuff. And I'm like, okay, cool. But yeah, I'd love to sell you my whole night supply. And if you want to slip me a taste too, that'd be awesome. I hear this stuff's great. You guys must want to party pretty hard.
Yeah, we'll go overseas. It'll be fun. The thing I want on top of all this is a satin prince up and down. And then I know he's got a whole like team of fucking burly fellas in biker cuts. I'm hoping, Jesus, I hope he didn't change the fucking uniform. But what's going on with the big guys? You notice anything about them when I came in?
I know the guys you're talking about. They came in through the back entrance a while ago with the satin prince who's here tonight. Like, that's crazy, right? They're here. They're definitely here. A few of them went upstairs and a few of them went downstairs. I don't know where he is. It's so strange. People keep saying they've seen him in upstairs on the second floor and that they've seen him downstairs. So I don't know if he's just going back and forth between them. But there's pretty big parties going on in both places. And the general public isn't allowed into either one. Hell, I'm not even allowed into them. He's definitely here, but it's so strange. I'm getting really conflicting reports.
Fucking prestige in us. Okay. How do people show that they can get upstairs or downstairs? Because there's obviously people going. What have they got that makes them pass the test?
That's the fucked up thing. Normally, we handle all that internally, but... there's some other system in place tonight. He brought in a lot of his own security, so I'm not quite sure how they're getting up and down. None of the staff are going up and down between floors. There's staff upstairs and downstairs, but they're completely isolated.
Interesting.
I've seen people showing something. I just don't know what it is.
Okay, interesting. Do you know anybody in a bar right now? You know, showed it.
He looks around. He's like, honestly, all the people who have this thing seem to be either going upstairs or downstairs, but they don't seem to be coming out onto the main floor. It's almost like it's a closed ecosystem.
Oh, fucking annoying. All right.
I'm studying biology.
Oh, well, you know what? I'm glad I'm financially contributing to your future in some kind of legitimate business, because I will tell you, I like you a lot, but you seem a little bit soft for this old drug-selling business. Because, like, I'm a nice guy, so I'm here, and I'm going to honor my offer, but you didn't even have me show you the money. I could have just asked this information and knife you in the fucking bathroom.
Oh, Jean-Yves, you fucked up again.
Don't worry, I've got the money. This is going to work out for you. What I'm just saying is, like, stick to the education. You know where you belong. You're a smart boy.
You're right. I should stick to biology, not chemistry. And he shows you the drug vial.
yeah, I fucking like you. Okay, so if you're ever in trouble, because I know you seem like the kind of guy who might get in trouble, swing by TJ Malone's, ask for Ridley Beef. We'll try to sort out what we can for you.
That's great. Thank you, Mr. Beef.
No problem. All right, so here's your money. Give me my half of the drugs.
How much do you give him?
How much supply do you have, my friend?
He's got, we're going to say, 10 vials. Each one goes for $100.
Oh, yeah, I'll give him $1,000 then. That's easy.
Okay.
And then I'll take five of the vials. I don't need them all. You can keep the other five.
Okay, great.
I will say that. What the fuck did they call this? I thought you were selling coke, something that was like classic.
Oh, no. It's got kind of a dumb name, but it's called Drac.
Drac what? You drink it, I guess?
Yeah. People seem to drink it. And like, again, I've heard it's a trip. Haven't done any myself because I can't afford it. But like, now that I've got these five vials, maybe tonight's my night, you know?
I worry about you. I just worry about you. You seem so innocent for what you're doing.
I'm sure I'll be fine. What could happen to me? It's not like this is a world of darkness.
Okay, give me four more. You only get one. I'll let you take a hit. I believe anyone should be able to take the adventure they want, but I'm not letting you spiral down some sort of weird overdose hole.
Yeah, he very disappointedly hands you four more vials.
It's for your own good. Again, TJ Malone, swing by if you have any fucking problem.
Yeah, I kind of like you.
Okay, thanks, man. We'll do.
No problem. Okay, and then I'll like go to Seamus and be like, all right, so we got a load of drugs, and I have no fucking clue how we get upstairs or downstairs. So that's going to be our next step. We should go see what's going on with the group, I guess.
Speaking of which, Iris, what have you discovered?
I had one success. So what did I discover?
A lot of people want to fuck Vivian, but aren't particularly helpful. So with one success, you get less, like kind of less than Ridley did. But once he fills you in on what he's got, you get a similar story, which is that the Satin Prince seems to have brought in a lot of his own staff. Inferno and Paradise seem to be a closed ecosystem of some sort. Not everyone who is in Paradise can get into Inferno. Not everyone who's Inferno can get into Paradise. But there are some people moving between them. Sure enough, as you watch, the people going up and down the spiral staircase often don't stop on this floor. They just keep going. But Vivian does... Nah, you rolled real bad. Nah, Vivian doesn't get anything other than that. She comes back kind of frustrated, being like, ugh, if I wanted to fuck a bartender, I would just fuck a bartender. Anyway, sorry, that's what I got. So it looks like it's up to Mr. Farrell to work his magic. And I very much look forward to Mr. Farrell working his magic.
So we can go up or we can go down. They say he's in both places for some reason. And there's some kind of thing we're supposed to show at the door, but we don't fucking have one. I will remember the door lady said that there was some kind of platinum fucking club that was getting in. Platinum VIP, who gives a shit? I don't fucking know. So,
Dederick, is there anything online about that?
Dederick holds up his phone. He's like, yes. Okay, so it turns out that this was a special fan night on his final show here in Montreal. He invited members of his Platinum fan group to the show with backstage passes, and I think that might be what they're using to get upstairs and downstairs. They're extraordinarily rare. You have to have been a fan for a long time and contributed a pretty decent amount of money and really prove your fandom. But I feel like backstage passes are too easy to replicate. It must be something else. But like, how would you prove that you're that dedicated a fan?
I mean,
hashtag question mark.
Fucking tattoo might work. There might be other shit. I don't know.
Really, as kind of all of you are moving towards the stairs, you do indeed see someone flash a tattoo of the Satin Prince's logo, which is very similar to Prince's logo, but like different for legal.
Satin.
Yeah, satin. It's made of satin. It's just they stitched satin into their wrists. But yes, people are clearly showing a tattoo.
Oh, damn it. They got fucking tattoos. Seamus, can you fucking draw?
Yeah, I'm not bad with a pen.
Okay, who's got a fucking marker? We can fucking do this real quick. Everyone talk fucking sharp. And he'll just like take a pen out of his pocket and be like, Seamus, I need that fucking design right here.
Oh, boy. Okay. Jesus.
I'm hoping I don't have to show it. It's just my fucking fallback plan.
Okay. It's be larceny? It'd be larceny. Ridley, can you roll me a larceny and... dexterity. And I'll give you advantage because Seamus is helping, so you can re-roll one dice.
I have one success.
Is that with the re-roll?
That is with the re-roll. Yeah, everything, and I have one success.
It's not great. It looks like someone drew... a fake tattoo on your wrist.
Well, I'll only show it if I have to. Is Seamus honestly better than I do? So, net gain.
It's like, thanks. He's clearly ashamed. He knows he did bad.
Oi. No, you didn't. And he just rests a hand on his face. He's like, you are a talented, special man. And know that about yourself. And that you are worth it. Let's go. And commit some crimes.
Seamus kind of leans his head into your hand for a moment and just says, you know, that's the nicest thing anyone said to me in a long time. Thank you.
Well, more people should say nice things to you, but cool.
and then he pats your hand and says, right, now crime.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy's going to be around for a while.
All right. So you approach the stairs. There is clearly another person dressed very similarly to Mavis Couture, but less frazzled, more focused. He just kind of looks at the lot of you, and Everett, your plan is still to just approach, to have Iris approach and say, Mr. Farrell would like to go see the prince?
Yeah.
All right, so Iris, you approach the man with the clipboard. What do you do?
It's probably a very similar story to what I told the other, okay. the other bouncer.
Cool. So let's go manipulation and persuasion again, please.
Is there any way to use my awe? Which is a plus one to my persuasion.
Yeah, I'll take that. But weirdly, it's you conveying awe about Everett.
Okay.
So it's less like, look how impressive I am. And it's more, look how impressive
Mr. Farrell
is. Everett, what pose do you strike while Iris tries to encourage awe?
He's awkwardly trying to like shrug out of Vivian's grasp. Just like, yeah.
Admittedly, that does make you look like a celebrity because there's like an incredibly stunning woman that you're just like, fuck off, I don't care.
Four successes.
And none of them were on hunger die? I just really want a messy success in here.
I don't have any hunger because I damn. Drained. Who did I drain? I know that I
think it was one of the
inquisitors. You drained Strahd von Zarevich.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Classic. Excellent. Okay. So you explain again, sort of similar thing. Again, Everett shoving a stunning woman off his shoulder looks good. Calmfiore is standing there looking kind of like bored and imperious, which also helps. Nevertheless, you know, the bouncer's like, well, that's fine, but we're going to need to see the tattoos. I'm so sorry. It's stipulated. The prince was very specific that only the platinum members get through.
I'm pretty sure if you went up a couple steps, some exceptions might be made.
I really don't.
Just go up a couple steps.
And he's kind of like starting to reach for his comlink when a figure descends the stairs very regally. She's got a flowing dress on that seems to just kind of drag almost like water along the steps. She has her hair sort of done up in a variety of sort of pins, almost like a crown. And just looks regal as fuck. Like she should be at like the Met Gala, not here. She stops at the stairs, taps the guy on the shoulder, and just kind of waves him away. And as she does so, the Satin Prince's insignia is very clear on her wrist. And Iris, you recognize the woman who you met once in your condo. To whom you returned DJ Miller and who invited you to Elysium, the kindred, Azaria Tyrell, who says, please, just let them up. They're with me.
This episode of Blood and Syrup features the voices of Ryan LaPlante at the Ryan LaPlante on Twitter, Tyler Hewitt at Tyler_Hewitt on Twitter, Megan Miles at Maggie Miles on Twitter, and storyteller Tom McGee at McGeeTD on Twitter. This episode was edited by Ryan LaPlante, and the Dum Dums and Dice logos are done by Decapitated Markers at Decapitated Marker on Twitter. That's MRKR. Our theme songs are What's Really Going On Right Now by Chase Allen Willis and Traffic by Kai Engel. And our ads use the tracks No Control and Chiefs by Jazzar, J-A-H-Z-Z-A-R. All of their music is available on freemusicarchive.org. When it comes to Dum Dums and Dice, you can visit our website at dumdumdice.com, our Twitter and Instagram are at dumdumdice, and on Facebook at facebook.com/dumdumdice. You can also buy merchandise at redbubble.com/people/dumdumdice, and you can join our Patreon at patreon.com/dumdumdice. That's
DUMBDICE. Sleep well, children of the night. Spooky.
Dum Dums and Dice has to give a special thank you to the supreme beings of our Patreon at this time. Christian Menicola, Long Long, the Half-Blind Prophet, James Cuellar, DM Rob, Christopher Little, Olin Anderson, Sue One, George Dolby, One True Artistry, Orion Birchfield, Lord of Bradovic, Noel Louis, Anthony Griffin, and Jill and Noel LaPlante. If you want your name to be added to this list, you can join our Patreon too at patreon.com/dumdumdice. Thanks to them, and a little bit of thanks to you.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.